B-Pod Studios.
302-975, The Fanatic, Andrew Salchunas on this Memorial Day Monday, taking you until 6 o'clock, filling in for the Mike Missanelli Show. They'll be back tomorrow. Tyler Zuli behind the glass today. We'll open up the phones in a couple minutes, 610-632-0975. We have a couple open lines as we kick off 25 minutes of commercial-free radio. And we're trying to do the positive outlook show. I'm trying to take a step back, and I'm trying to look at the big picture of all four teams. Right, we can single out each team, but when I look at the city of Philadelphia and the state of their sports, the Phillies, the Flyers, the Eagles, and the Sixers, overall, I go, wow, there is actually a bright future in this city. Right, all the sports overlap. So at some point, you'll be watching a team that's going to be winning in the next couple of years. It's not going to be this year. You know, we had Charles who just called in, and Charles is probably the most optimistic sports fan that I know. And he thinks that the Eagles could get to the NFC Championship game this year. I don't think so. I don't. But there are a lot of people that talk about the NFC East and they go, well, the Cowboys offense is very good. They're probably going to win the division. I go, yeah, but their defense kind of stinks. I don't think the Eagles defense is all that great, but I don't think they're terrible. I think the Eagles defense will be better than what you saw last year. You know, you get Malik Jackson back. You know, you bring in Hargrave in free agency. There's a lot of big ifs, right? The big if is, can Derek Barnett prove to be worthy of that 14th overall pick when you drafted him in 2017? You look at the offensive side of things. Can Jalen Reagor be what they're hoping him to be, a deep threat that Carson Wentz can depend on? If Derek Barnett shows flashes that he did in his rookie year. Remember, he's been dealing with a lot of injuries the last couple of years. But if Derek Barnett shows flashes alongside Brandon Graham on the other side, and obviously you get all that strength on the inside with Fletcher Cox, you'll have Malik Jackson, you'll have Hargrave, all that strength on the inside, if those guys can clean up and get the quarterback when they escape the pocket, they cause more pressure. They have to throw more errant throws down the field. And then Darius Slay, who you traded for and gave a lot of money for, Darius Slay can then step up and make an interception or force an incompletion. And if your front four is constantly causing pressure and one side of your field is locked down and the other side you give some help to, whether it's safety help or, you know, maybe there's an extra corner, I don't know, you find a way to help him out. Whether it's Maddox or Jones or Douglas or LeBlanc, no matter who that cornerback is, all of a sudden your defense is pretty good. And the offense, but it all comes back to Barnett and the offense. It all comes back to Jalen Reagor and also Andre Dillard. Do I think they're a team that's on their way to the NFC Championship game this year? No, but do I think they're a team that can get to the playoffs for the fourth straight year? Yes, I do believe that's a very good possibility. Phillies, do I think they're a playoff team in a shortened season? I have no idea. I can't put my finger on it. This is such a weird year. But do I think they have the talent that they could get there? Yeah, I do. Because you look at the last 2 years, around the 80-game mark, the Phillies are in first place. And then they fall apart because Gabe Kapler's a terrible manager. If they only play 80 games this year, maybe it's the same thing. They're in first place, they get into the playoffs, and we'll see what they can do. Best thing will happen for them is they get playoff experience, the young guys on this team. A lot of young guys on this Phillies roster. Flyers were all sky high. Sixers, if anything, I think people will believe. So Tyler Zuli, who's producing the show, he said the only team that really has the slightly downward arrow is the Eagles. I would think a lot of people would say that about the Sixers. Even though when I say, hey, the Sixers are actually still very talented, they just don't have the right coach. They bring in the right coach and figure things out and get a competent bench, and they get a shooter that's not just Furkan Korkmaz, like a legit three-point shooter. Alongside Korkmaz, right? Because I know a lot of people like Furkan because he did impress us this year at points with his shooting ability at times. Then all of a sudden, maybe that team is that top three, top two seed that we were hoping for coming into this year. So the overall outlook for me is positive, more so than negative, when you look at all four teams. If you want to do each team individually, I'm sure there are some teams where some people will say, no, I feel no confidence in that squad. But when I go big picture, I think the pros outweigh the cons right now. And that's why I feel good about the overall state of Philadelphia sports, especially for this upcoming decade of 2020. 610-632-0975. Also, the match yesterday. Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning versus Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady. It was very entertaining. Let's try to set up another match. You still have Tiger, you still have Phil, but who are the other two athletes? The other two rivals from their respective sport. Tyler gave a great answer with Roger Clemens and Mike Piazza. We've had great answers on Twitter. We've had Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan. We've had Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas. Kevin tweets in Sixers and the medical staff. That's a funny answer, but let's try to be a little more serious here. We go, let's see if I got another good one. Larry Bird, Dr. J, that would be a fun one. And they're a little older now, so I'm sure they put a lot of the stuff in the past, right? The choking and all that and the fights, they're okay. They'll talk and they'll have fun. How about this? Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair from Rob. How about that? I don't know if that'd be good golf, but at least it'd be entertaining. And Crawford tweets in Sidney Crosby and Claude Giroux. Eh. You know, they could probably bomb it off the green, off the tee. Hockey players have great, great tee shots. Incredible. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Mike in Philly. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Peace.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
I had a prediction I wanted to ask Charles Barkley.
You want to ask Charles?
Yes.
Where's he at?
On the show. I'm watching the show now.
You're watching the show right now?
Yeah.
How do I look?
I don't see you. I see Ennis.
You see who?
Ennis. James Ennis.
You see James Ennis?
Yes. James Ennis, Charles Barkley, Mike, and TJ.
Huh. But I'm not on there?
No. I hear you on the phone. Your voice.
You hear my voice, but you're not. But you don't see me.
No.
Do you see Tyler?
No.
Do you see Tyrone and Natalie?
I see Tyrone, Natalie. See James Ennis and Charles Barkley.
Do you see where it says
along with Mike?
Do you see where it says encore or rerun on the screen?
Oh wow! Oh, I didn't look up. Oh no!
That's all right.
No.
All right, what do you got for Charles Barkley? Maybe I could send him a message, Mike.
Oh no! I wanted to ask him. I know his predicament was for the Sixers to make the championship with his season being over. I wonder how he. What do you think? How would the Sixers have came out?
I don't know. I don't know what Charles would think. I think Charles is pretty disappointed with the Sixers this year.
He was
at the time of the airing of the show you're watching, which I think was like 3 months ago.
Oh, yeah. I see it now. I see the encore thing.
That's all right, Mike. You enjoy the rest of your evening, all right?
All right, take it easy.
See ya. Oh, God. Oh, man. Now, let's bring people into the industry a little bit here. Tyler, you have done a shift like this in the past. I've done shifts like this in the past as a producer. And I love having fun with some of the callers. I used to do Sunday mornings from 6 a.m. until noon producing a couple years ago. And we always did the best of Mikey Miss. And people would call in at 7 in the morning on a Sunday. And I'd sort of like keep going with the, oh, what do you think about, oh, that's your opinion? Why do you think that, blah, blah, blah. And then I'd end the call with, you understand that it's Sunday at 7. And Mikey Miss has been working from 2 until 6 for the last, I don't know, over 10 years here at the station. I don't know.
Just got to laugh sometimes. That's all.
No, that's good. I appreciate him calling in.
I'll fill in. I'll fill in the callers before we get them to you. I'll fill them in that it's a rerun.
But I appreciate that he's listening to the show because he goes, I hear you. I just don't see you. Like, I appreciate that he's listening. So he's listening to the show on the radio or on the app, 97.5, the Fanatic app. I don't know. That was great. That made my day. Let's go to Dave in Center City. Dave, you want to ask Charles something?
Actually, I have him on speed dial, so I can call him.
Right,
my man, Saltunis, where's the rest of the A-team at?
They're off today. You know that. It's Memorial Day.
Must be nice. You didn't hear this from me, but Charles Barkley is one of the few guys that actually follows through on writing a check to his donations. What a great man.
Oh, yeah, he's an incredible human being.
Yeah, Andrew, you know, that guy that sounded like an auctioneer, I think Charles, he made a lot of sense in regards to the Phillies and the Eagles. Firstly, the Eagles, listen to me, my brother. 49ers are going to do a bigger disappearing act than the Rams did coming off of their Super Bowl loss.
Really?
NFC is so bad right now. Listen to me. The Eagles and the Cowboys are the two powers in the NFC. The Vikings with a bad quarterback, tremendous draft. They're going to be there. You can't count out Tampa Bay with a remodeled offense.
Right, and Brady.
Look out for Arizona. They make moves. This quarterback kid's no joke.
No, I think the Cardinals can have a good 8-8 record, or 9-7. Yeah.
And so, good night, New Orleans. Good night, Green Bay.
I wouldn't say good night. I wouldn't say good night, New Orleans.
And first of all, they had three possible trips to the to the Super Bowl handed to them on a silver platter, and they blew it. Drew Brees, you thought Peyton Manning was bad his last year? Drew Brees can't even throw the ball 35 yards downfield anymore.
Right.
Russell Wilson is due to get his head torn off the way he's running around like that. But anyway, let's get back to the Phillies, and I think you touched on it. If they do have the 75-game schedule, three of the last 4 years, don't they get out of the gate quickly? Don't the Phillies go like 34-20?
Yeah, they're always in first place around that 80-game mark, and then they just fall apart.
Yeah, are they playing baseball this year, Andrew, or not?
I don't know, Dave. I really hope they do, but they just can't find an agreement right now with the revenue between the players and the owners. I think they will find a way to work something out, because there's no way they can go an entire season without playing. But their biggest loss, Dave, is
yes.
I thought they were going to be the first sport back and that they would grab the attention of the fringe baseball fans. But because of how slow they've been moving with this process, if basketball comes back first and they're going right into the playoffs, what are you going to do? Watch NBA playoffs, or are you going to watch, a regular season game for baseball? Especially when NBA playoffs started first.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Andrew, NASCAR has had 3 races in 7 days. They grab a 6 share and a 9 rating. They reached out to 10 million households last night. Are these stick and ball sports going to join the club or not?
I think basketball and hockey are doing whatever they can to come back. So I do think that they do come back. I mean, they keep on voting for things. They're pitching all these ideas. Hockey's got the 2014 playoff with 12 teams from each conference. Like, they have these things figured out. It all comes back to testing and safety and being able to figure out, the sports hubs. Where can they play? Are they going to have to live in hotels? Are they going to be allowed to see their families? Are they going to get their temperature taken every single day? It all comes back to that kind of stuff. Like, they want to play. It's just, can they play is the big question. I think they can figure it out.
Yo, guy, much like you, I was a Hollywood handsome hunk back in the day. I never came close to getting married. How's married life?
It's good. It's good right now, Dave. And I appreciate the call. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. It's good. Got no complaints.
What a compliment.
Yeah. I don't look good now. I got the hair is just awful. My beard is patchy and disgusting. I had to shave my mustache. It was getting so long where if I showered, it would it'd be so wet that it would be in my mouth. So I had to trim that up.
The best thing that's happened to me so far during the quarantine was filling in for Tyrone the one day, because it forced me to shave and clean up and look good. Because I mean, you saw me a couple times before that shift. I was letting it grow.
Oh yeah, you were.
And I feel like a different person.
Yeah, I feel disgusting. And I don't care. Although I got to ask you something. And we have open lines, 610-632-0975. Maybe people can weigh in on this as well, if you guys have a good answer for us. Tyler noticed something as soon as I walked in that I didn't even notice. So I walk in, I did laundry My wife, she's a nurse in the intensive care unit, so I'm trying to do as much as I can at the house because she's front lines right now. So I'm like, all right, let me do as much house stuff so that her life is easier when she comes home or when she's off, because she only does the 3 12-hour shifts where she doesn't have to do that kind of stuff. So, pat myself on the back. I'm just trying to help out. So I did laundry, and I put it off for a long time. So as the stuff was in the wash, I had very limited clothes left to wear. So I finished the wash today, but I just grabbed the last couple of stuff in the drawers to wear to work today. I haven't worn the shirt in quite some time. It's a comfortable shirt. I like to sleep in this shirt. I think I did sleep in it last night. I don't know. There's nobody here. I didn't shower today. What? I'll shower later. Be fine. So I'm wearing a shirt that is a Memorial Day weekend baseball tournament shirt. And I didn't even realize that I was wearing it. You go, oh, look at you, in the spirit of today. I'm like, what are you talking about? I looked down, it says Memorial Day. I'm like, oh, okay. But then you picked up on something else that it said. What year is my t-shirt, Tyler?
2007.
Yes, my t-shirt is of my Memorial Day weekend tournament, baseball tournament from 2007.
Andrew, you and I are almost exactly, literally to almost the day, the same age.
Yes.
We were 14.
Yes, we were 14.
That's incredible. I said to you before the show started, I give you props that it still fits.
Yes. So if you think about it real quick, 2007, Phillies had yet to win the World Series. Eagles, of course, not even close to winning the Super Bowl. 2007, things weren't, they were looking up for some of the teams. So 2007, Andrew, I've talked about this in the past. I was a big boy in my earlier years. I was overweight. We'll just say it. I'll just be real with you. I weigh less now than I did in middle school. So the shirt does still fit because I was so big in 2007, so big in my early years that, yes, I can wear a shirt now. It's not like I was 110 pounds in middle school and I am still 110 pounds. I don't think any man at my age should be 110 pounds. You're probably sick and that's not a good thing. I hope you're better. But I was like 180 pounds in middle school and I weigh less now. So that's why the shirt still fits. But is it a violation to still be wearing a shirt from 2007?
I don't think it's a violation if one of three things, if they all apply. If you kept it in fair, like it's clean, right?
There's no holes in it.
That's the big one. No holes. And it's not like you're wearing it as, an Ezekiel Elliott crop top.
Right.
It's a t-shirt on.
Yes, I grabbed it out of the pile.
I think you're good.
Yeah, but I feel like if I wore a Jimmy Rollins jersey, people go, oh, dude, Jimmy Rollins jersey. If I bought in 2007, they don't know. It's Jimmy Rollins. But this literally says 2007. 13 years ago. 13 years. To this day, this shirt is 13 years old. And it's obviously 13 years old because it says 2007 on it. I feel like people would look at it and go, oh, dude, come on. Update the wardrobe a little bit. Now, I work in a field where I don't really need to. Right? I don't know. If I walked around, if I get home, I actually walked a dog before I came here. And again, I didn't even know I was wearing the shirt. I'm sure somebody saw the shirt and went, dude, really? 2007?
I think it depends on what you're doing. Like walking the dog is way more acceptable than like going to a restaurant.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like there's like tiers of what you can do. If you're working out, you're walking the dog, that's physical activity.
Right.
You wear your bum bottom of the drawer bottom of the closet.
I went for a run
t-shirt
in a shirt that had holes all over it yesterday.
If you were going out and truly going out in public style, I would say probably, that's a violation.
I am at work. I am technically on the clock wearing a t-shirt from 2007. So if you guys want to weigh in on that, feel free. The number to get in is 610-632-0975. Coming up, we're going to update the Twitter poll. And it's a Twitter poll that I'm happy to see the results of so far because people are feeling more positive about the overall outlook for Philadelphia sports. But that's what I want to do today. I want us to take a step back and look at all of Philadelphia sports. Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, Eagles. You want to throw in the Union? Feel free. But if you look at it, because the Union are on the rise too. They had a great year last year. If you look at all these teams, I say, wow, I am feeling more positive about the overall outlook in Philadelphia. Because, you know, you can try to give me all the cons right now. You can give me all the negative outlook you want. Brett Brown, he's not a good coach. Well, yeah, you know what? I agree with you. I'm ready to move on from Brett Brown. But I also do know that I have Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. I'm not the biggest Tobias Harris fan, but I think he's a good basketball player that could fit with Ben and Joel if he got a little more aggressive and took a little more shots. But I go, okay, yeah, the coach isn't good, but you have talent on the roster. And it's young talent on the roster, except for Al Horford. You have young talent. You have a bright future with the Sixers. The Flyers, it's nothing but bright future for the Flyers. All four lines and the goaltenders. Yeah, Brian Elliott, a little older, but a very good backup goaltender to a young, rising goaltender in Carter Hart. Phillies, you still have youth, and you still have talent, and you can find the core. The idea is, can the rest of the roster construction work out? Because it's not like the NBA where it's 12 players, and you're really playing five guys when it counts. It's 25 men, and it's the starting nine, but you need a good bullpen, which the Phillies do not have. The Phillies do not have a good bullpen. But if they can shore that up a little bit more, they have a better rotation on paper considered to last year. Is it far better? No. Is it the best in the division? No. But they have a core on offense. They have at least two competent starting pitchers. Zach Eflin is the number four, is a lot better than the number two, in my opinion. So I look at it overall. Positive outlook. If you think it's more negative, let me know. 610-632-0975. I want to talk about it. If you agree with me that it's positive, let's try to dive in a little bit deeper. I had this conversation on Saturday, and I want to continue it coming up, and I'll ask Tyler for his opinion on it. When you do look at some of the young rising stars in Philadelphia, can they be considered the best at their position in the history of the franchises? Not right now, but when their careers are done, will they eventually amount to being the best at their position in their franchise's history? It is possible. We'll talk about that. I want to continue talking about the match. If you watched it, we had Charles on earlier, Charles from the Northeast. He said he did not watch it. I want to hear from the people that did. Did you love it? Because I did. I thought it was great, and I would love to see more of it. Who are the other two golfers you want to see? You have Tiger. You have Phil, but who are the other two rivals from another sport that you want to see team up with Tiger and Phil? 610-632-0975. We'll update the Twitter poll as well. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Mike Missanelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3:30, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Mike Missanelli Show, taking you until 6 o'clock. 3 o'clock hour brought to you by Corpley's Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie, and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Let's update the Twitter poll, Tyler, and of course the Twitter poll is always brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons, and it can be found on @975TheFanatic. Tyler, what do we have today?
Yep, our Twitter poll question today is take a step back and look at the Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, and Eagles. When you look at the state of the teams in Philadelphia right now, is your outlook more positive or negative? We have just under 500 votes so far. Your total's grown even further. 81% say positive, 19% say negative.
All right, so Greg Van Riper tweets in response saying, I can't get overly excited about the Birds until Wentz starts developing a playoff resume. He continues, the Phils are probably 2 years away from contention. Same with the Flyers. I still think the Sixers are best positioned to be our next champion. don't know how you can say that about the Flyers, first of all. I mean, they're in contention right now. Like, they were one of the hottest teams going into the playoffs. Now, I have said during the run leading up to the playoffs before the world stopped, I said that I thought ultimately the Flyers would lose in the playoffs, like maybe in round two or round three, because of their youth and because of not having that playoff experience. Now, at the same time, I could get smacked in the face and laughed in the face by those same young players because maybe they're so young and so cocky that the moment doesn't get too big for them. And they just keep on playing and just go right through it. Because how many times did we see during the regular season this year, this Flyers team go down 1-0 early? We saw it constantly. And the resiliency of this Flyers team, they kept on coming back. They would go down 1-0 in the first 5 minutes of the first period, sometimes go down 2-0, and they'd find a way to win. And they did that a lot, especially once the calendar turned into 2020. Alain Vigneault figured things out. That was the difference between Vigneault and Brett Brown. Remember, Brett Brown said, give me till 2020, and I will have figured out this roster. Alain Vigneault didn't say that. But once we got to 2020, Vigneault figured it out. He figured out the best things. He made changes on the lines. He moved guys over. And they finally figured out his strategy. Remember, it was Ron, you know, Hackstall at first. So now they're figuring out Vigneault and they figured it out. And then they start winning games. So when you say the Flyers are a couple years away, maybe they're a couple years away from winning a Stanley Cup. But you can't say that they're not contenders right now. To me, they had as good of a chance as any other team this year in the East to at least get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And to me, you're a contender if you can get to your conference final. If you can get to your conference final, if you can get to the National League Championship Series, to me, you're a contender. So the Flyers, I think, are almost there. The Phils, I think he's right about probably 2 years away. They still need to build a little bit. The Eagles, the Wentz playoff resume thing, I get it. I understand. I don't know. The Wentz thing is, like, what do you take away from that, Tyler? When he responds, I can't get overly excited about the Birds until Wentz starts developing a playoff resume. Like, what do you take from that?
I can't put a playoff resume under one player. I put a playoff resume under the full team.
And a coach who has coached a Super Bowl victory, yep, and has coached a backup quarterback to almost beat the Saints, but Alshon Jeffrey dropped it.
Yeah, Doug Peterson to me, I mean, Doug Peterson, out of everything that's happened over the last couple of years, has proved to me that he is a tremendous coach. And I don't know if he is like top tier, the great coach of all time.
Right.
But I think he's a really, really good football coach who gets it done with whatever he's got. Carson Wentz did that for me for the last 4 weeks of the regular, yep, season last year. And it took, you know, a cheap shot for him to be taken out of the playoffs. I don't buy a one player playoff resume. I buy a one team playoff resume. And so far, over the last 3 years, the Eagles have made the playoffs all 3 years. Won a Super Bowl, won a playoff game that following year. Obviously lost in the wild card game, yeah, last year, but they've won the division two of the last three years.
They've also could have won, right? Like, they could have beaten the Saints if Alshon Jeffrey doesn't drop it. They could have beaten the Seahawks if Jadeveon Clowney doesn't go for the cheap shot hitting Wentz in the back of the head. Like, they are contenders within the playoffs, too. They're not only contenders to get to the playoffs, they are contenders once they get there. It's just, you know, they haven't had the grace of luck. You know,
now, with that said, I think it is fair for me to also, at the same side, say that it is a team effort that gives them a playoff resume over the last couple of seasons. I also believe that it is a team 53-man roster effort this season that's going to have them take that step back.
Okay.
Just because of the roster construction.
Where are you most concerned? Let's take out linebacker, because that's...
Yeah, well, I mean, that's abysmal. But that's the one that obviously worries me the most.
Yeah.
What else worries me is that it... We talked about the receiver position, and it has to get better, right? But what worries me is that the Eagles took the quantity over quality approach.
Yeah.
Now, I think Jalen Reagor is going to be, I think he's going to be a good player.
I think so, too.
And even if you get good out of him and a healthy DeSean Jackson, you are better. But you're leaning on DeSean Jackson staying healthy, mm-hmm, a rookie being your number two, yep, Alshon Jeffrey at some point making his way back after that, the core injury, and then a bunch of guys. Right, and yeah, we don't know a whole lot about these guys. John Hightower, Quez Watkins, Marquise Goodwin is an established NFL player, but I always like to say there's a reason a guy cost what he cost.
Yep.
And for the fact that he cost a 6-round swap, what's going on there?
Right. Yeah, and he's had injury histories in the past, so you know, I get it. And maybe I'm trying to look more positive than negative. You know, the Rager thing is a big flip of the coin. And I've said this multiple times. If Rager pans out, the Eagles offense is pretty good this year. If Rager is, you know, the player that a lot of people are concerned about, remember, one of the comps was Josh Huff. If he's Josh Huff, then you go, oh, damn, this isn't good. You didn't really help Carson Wentz out at all. You know, is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside going to all of a sudden show that he can be a second-round pick or play like a second-round pick this year? I don't think so. You know, I don't even want to depend on Alshon Jeffrey. Greg Ward, there's tape on him this year. So I don't know. Does Greg Ward, you know, is he still number one in our hearts like he was the last 4 weeks? We'll see. You still have Ertz. You still have Goddard. You still have a great running back, a great young running back, and Miles Sanders, a guy that you can do a lot with Boston Scott. We'll see what Corey Clement is. I mean, I wasn't that big on bringing him back. I kind of wanted a guy that I could depend on in terms of not getting hurt all the time. But we'll see. If Clement can stay healthy, we saw what he could do his rookie year when they won the Super Bowl. There are things to be concerned about. But overall, I'm going to try to look more positive. I want people doing that today. 610-632-0975. Let's go to the phones. Talk to Steel in Ocean City. Steel, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Lithuanian lover.
Yo, Steel. What's up? I haven't talked to you in a while. How you been, man?
And Tyler, just a very proud Memorial Day to you both.
Yes.
It's by far my favorite holiday, just because it means a hell of a lot.
Yeah, it's not just getting all drunk and going down the shore. There's a lot to Memorial Day, and that's why I keep on saying, I said it probably like 4 times already in the show, just make sure you take a second to remember what Memorial Day is really all about. And, you know, just think of some people today.
Very cool, my friend. That's nice. I think you're maybe 27 years old, and I got you beat by about 40 years. But it's definitely a holiday. It's my favorite holiday because you got to take your hat off and take a bow to fallen servicemen.
Yep.
The ultimate sacrifice, and a lot of guys, even with the COVID and all this nasty stuff that's going on the world, it's, you know, these guys did a, you know, they were in their own hell. Anyway,
yep.
Not to bring you down.
That's all right. What do you got? What, you want to talk about the match?
I did. I thought it was excellent.
Yes.
I loved it. I thought it was everybody had personality because, you know, the Brooks Koepkas of the world and the Dustin Johnsons, they're dry as toast. These guys were obviously so good at what they did and what they added. It was very, very enjoyable.
Right, and Phil and Tom, like Phil is, you know, because he's a golfer, people don't know about it. Phil actually has a great personality. He's a funny guy. Tiger's Tiger, but Phil's got a great personality. And then to me, the bigger draw for me was not just playing golf, not just Tiger v. Phil. It was also Peyton and Brady, because I know that those two guys do have good personalities, and I figured that those two guys would be, you know, have good banter back and forth in it, and it was exactly as advertised.
And Andrew Barkley in the background.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't know if you've ever seen him swing a golf club.
Oh, it's ugly.
It's spastic.
Yes, but I mean, and it's funny that he talks smack to Brady about his golf swing, and then Brady hits that birdie from the fairway, and all of a sudden you go, oh,
yeah,
man.
Right, suck on this or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, that was great. That was a great line. I mean, overall, it was just so incredible yesterday. I mean, they raised $20 million. I mean, it was just perfect. Yeah.
Do you personally play the game?
Me? Yeah, not well.
But you tee it up.
Yes, and I have the tremendous lefties. I'm a left-handed, I have an incredible slice. So if there's no trees, I'll hit it on the fairway every single time because I'm aiming 90 degrees to the right, and I'm bombing it down the fairway. If there's trees, I'm in trouble.
Have you been bitten by the bug?
What bug?
The golf bug.
Oh, what, wanting them? Oh, this year?
No, I'm just saying, if when you play golf, you're either bitten by the bug, meaning you're addicted.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Or, a couple summers ago, I think I went every other weekend when I like when I got this job full time, and I was like, oh, look, right. I'm finally making money, even though I wasn't. But I thought, all right, look at me. I'm a millionaire. I'm going to go every other weekend. But I still try to go down quite a few. I mean, my dad lives in, or my parents live in Brigantine. They live right off the golf course, so I'll try to get down there.
When I was in high school in 1975, Brigantine Golf Links was my home course.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yes. And it was a cow pasture, but they always had great greens. So you're actually, that's a pretty nice track because I know they put money into it.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to let you go.
All right,
my hold on. My foursome.
Your show.
Yeah, no.
My foursome, God.
I'm going to go with Hearns Hagler.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with Woods and Mickelson.
That's good, Steele, and I appreciate the call, man. That's good. We're going boxing. That's a different approach. That's what I want to hear. Like, I want to hear these rivalries. I'll read some more on Twitter, but I want to hear the rivalries that you would want to see in another match, just like you saw yesterday, where you had Manning and Brady teaming up with Tiger and Peyton. Manning and Brady teaming up with Tiger and Phil. Who are the other two rivals you'd want to see? 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew South, Junior's taking till 6 right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
347, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for Mike Massanelli. He'll be back tomorrow. No, they're not on right now. The Encore show on NBC Sports Philly, I guess, is on. We already had a caller talking to me as if I was Mike Massanelli, but no, it is me, Andrew Salchunas, with Tyler Zuli, taking you until 6. Ruin Today tweets in. This is an interesting thought, Tyler, for the match. You still have Tiger, you still have Phil. But what if you go Happy Gilmore and Shooter McGavin as the other two golfers?
Little, I mean, we did the hypothetical earlier. Why not?
So you have Adam Sandler and you have Christopher McDonald. Now, I don't know how they are as actual golfers. Like, I don't know. They looked like they were swinging the club well. Well, at least Christopher McDonald, because Adam Sandler obviously was doing the Happy Gilmore running up and swinging thing. You know, he's doing the Happy Gilmore shot. I wonder if they could actually golf. Because that would be funny. Because, you know, they're actors, so they'd be entertaining when they're speaking, too. To me, that was the biggest thing from yesterday. That was the best part about yesterday. The golf wasn't bad. But the entertainment value was the best part. You know, you had the back and forth. You had Charles in the booth. Like, that was the best part. And I do suggest, even if you want to watch like a highlight reel of it or something, it was entertaining yesterday. And I thought I was going to stop watching, but I couldn't.
So I got an answer for you.
Okay.
On Adam Sandler.
Okay.
According to an article called 12 Things You Didn't Know About Happy Gilmore.
Okay.
Adam Sandler is terrible at golf.
Okay, so never mind. Because they have to be somewhat okay. They have to be good. Like, they changed the rules up yesterday. Like, it wasn't just, you know, play your ball. Like, they did some weird stuff, which again added to the entertainment of it. Like, one of the holes, they did a pick your club, and that's the one club you can use. They did a couple holes, they did best ball. So they changed things up during the round yesterday, but you can't go if Adam Sandler's terrible, then you can't do it. They have to be decent golfers, I guess. Now, when I ask the question, who are the two rivals you want to see? We don't know if somebody tweeted in Larry Bird and Julius Erving. We don't know if they're good golfers. I know Larry Bird was playing golf in Space Jam with Michael Jordan, but do we know, is he any good? Is Julius Erving good? But give me some good answers. Give me a good pairing that would go with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson as the other two rivals, just like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady were in their NFL careers, but now they can go back and forth playing golf. To me, that's very, very interesting. Somebody tweeted in earlier, LeBron James and Steph Curry. Now, I would bet on whoever Steph is with, because Steph Curry is actually a very good golfer. Steph Curry can actually shoot under par in an 18-hole course, like a legit 18-hole course. I don't know if LeBron plays golf, but I know that Steph Curry, he plays in pro-ams all the time, is really good. So let's have some fun with that today. 610-632-0975. We're also doing the overall positive outlook. We have the poll running on the station's account, whether or not you look at the state of Philadelphia sports in more of a positive light or a negative light. And majority are saying positive. 81% saying positive. That's a good sign. That means that we can expect victories. Maybe not titles, but at least championship appearances. And we did the show last week with Anthony, and he asked whether or not we would see more championship appearances than 1980. Now, the decade of 1980, from 1980 until 1989, Philadelphia saw 9 championship appearances, 2 victories. So there are 2 for 9, but 9 championship appearances. I believe the Sixers got there 3 times. The Flyers got there 3 times. Phillies got there twice, 80 and 83, and the Eagles got there once in 80. Can the current group of those teams get to the championship of their respective sport more than 9 times? Tyler, I'll ask you. I say yes. I do think they can. And my reasoning is you kind of already have that core in place. Like you're not really rebuilding right now. Sixers are close. Flyers are close. Eagles are retooling, in my opinion, so maybe not this year, but a couple years down the road, if they can give you 2 Super Bowl appearances. And then the Phillies are the furthest team away, but again, you bring another pitcher, you bring in a couple competent bullpen arms, you already have a good starting 9, in my opinion, you already have a good bench, you bring in some bullpen arms in a couple of years, now all of a sudden you're talking about a team that could get to the World Series. Do you think you could see 9, at least 9 championship appearances from the 4 teams in this decade?
So from now until the end of 2029?
Yes.
That's difficult.
It's
to,
a lot.
It's a ton to get through when you have 4 teams that are right there. I don't know if I'm ready to say that. I mean, 9, you would figure what? 4 teams per year for 10 years, that's 40 seasons.
Yes.
Can they make almost a quarter of them? That's a really tough way to think about. I'm going to say no. And the reason being is because I think that the Sixers window is pretty small in terms of their true dominant potential over the next decade. They may be able to get to 1 or 2 by themselves over the next few seasons if utilized correctly. The Flyers would have to carry a large portion of the load, I think.
Yeah.
Because I don't trust the Phillies front office to draft well enough and to acquire free agents
You're still not going to see them for another 4 or 5
right.
years.
So that's the thing, is you're going to think about the guys that are close to being ready with Boehm and Howard, and they're both supposed to be really good. But after I think the third prospect in their list is Bryson Stott.
Was many years away.
Right, exactly. So I don't know how close this team actually is. And you say retooling. I think that's probably a better used word than rebuilding, because I think they are close enough to not have to rebuild. But they're going to have to hit over the next 2 seasons to get back to a dominant form.
Yeah.
Because they're going to need a lot of guys on cheap deals to win for them.
Right, which is what they did in 2017. How he's going to have to hit again.
Right. I'm going to say no. I think it's probably 5. I think that's where it would get to.
Are you happy with 5 in the next 10 years?
Appearances?
Yeah.
Sure. It's got to probably be, I think of those 5, I got to see 3 championships though.
So you think they won't get to the 9 appearances, but you think they could surpass just winning 2 titles in that decade of 1980? Because 1980, they got to 9,
right,
but they only won 2. The Phillies in 80,
well,
and the Sixers in 80.
And in 1980, they that decade gets a little bit skewed, because 1980, they went to 4 championships in one season.
In one year, yep.
I mean, that's really difficult to do over the course of a decade. I don't...
Hey, Boston does it.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Boston does it.
And I mean, to be fair, up until the Patriots had won the Super Bowl in 2016 or whatever year it was, Philadelphia was the only... It was something weird. It was like Philadelphia was the only team... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Until the Bruins. Let's get this right.
Bruins.
Until the Bruins won the cup, Philadelphia was the only city to have gone to all four championships in the 2000s.
Okay.
So that was a really cool stat that Philadelphia held for a long time.
Right.
I just don't believe this next decade is going to be as fruitful as people think it's going to be.
I think it will be. I don't know. I feel good. Because I just look at specific areas on each team and I go, all right, you got the coach and quarterback for the Eagles, which is important.
Huge, of course.
Baseball, I still think the Phillies are the furthest away. Flyers, you have a young core that has already shown that they can succeed in the league. And then the Sixers, I still look Simmons and Embiid. All right, let's go. You have Simmons and Embiid. Build around them. Let's go. Figure this out. Get a new coach in here that can make these two guys work out.
I think that's fair. So I guess it kind of comes back to that question that I had for you is, if you've got nine, are you comfortable in saying that between the Flyers and Sixers, they get six of them?
Yeah, because in the NBA, it's one of those things where once you get to one, you have a pretty good chance of going to two or three. I mean, every single NBA Finals team, except for that like anomaly with like the Dallas Mavericks, right, or the Miami Heat, not LeBron and D-Wade, but D-Wade and Shaq, right? Or the Boston Celtics only won the one time. A lot of times you see the same team get to the finals three times in 5 years. And so maybe the Sixers could be that team. It all comes back to whether or not they can figure it out. 610-632-0975. We've got a couple open lines. 25 minutes of commercial-free radio is coming up. We're going to be talking about the positive outlook, or if you have a negative outlook, feel free to chime in. I want to hear about it, and maybe we can work things out and hash things out, and maybe hopefully I can change how you feel about that. We're talking about the match and whether or not you liked it yesterday. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was perfect for what's going on in the world. They raised $20 million. I don't see how you can hate that, but if we try to do another match, if it's still Tiger Woods and it's still Peyton and Phil Mickelson, who are the other two rivals from their respective sport, like Manning and Brady, that you want to see team up with those two golfers? And we're going to do a couple more things. Because it's a positive outlook show, I'm going to open something up coming up in this 4 o'clock hour about positivity. Because right now, with everything going on in the world, with the pandemic, with shutdowns, with social distancing, with quarantining yourselves at home, not a lot of great things, I'm sure, happening in your personal life, but I want to try to highlight the stuff that are going great for you, because I want to try to keep the show upbeat. It's a positive attitude show on this Memorial Day Monday. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas, taking you till 6 right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.